I am Justin Boyd.
I'm Brittany of Asgard, and I am burdened with glorious purpose.
Can I say I'm Yggdrasil?
Go for it.
You just did.
And, I never, actually.
And we are the Watchers in the Basement.
Welcome to the Watchers in the Basement. We are here today to discuss Season 2, Episode 6, the season finale and very likely the series finale of the Disney Plus Marvel Cinematic Universe series, Loki. The title of this episode is Glorious Purpose, which, by the way, was the same title as the first episode of Season 1 of Loki. Kind of goes with that whole, like, coming full circle thing. Let's get right to it. We've got a lot to talk about. And I'm going to go to Amber first. Amber, what'd you think about Glorious Purpose, the finale of Season 2, and probably the finale of the show in general?
Loved it. I loved it. There's so many bits about it that I love. I love the mythology of it. I love the revisiting canon of it. The emotion. It's basically summing up, how long has Tom Hiddleston been Loki? Like 15, 16 years? It's
14 years.
It's like wrapping up the entire thing. And I love it. It's just because Loki is my favorite character in the entire MCU. And so the fact that he has finally has a really, really in-depth, beautiful, I guess, cycle of his life and existence and purpose. I love it. I actually cried a little. Not gonna lie.
No, I mean, it's a sad ending, honestly. It really was. Brittany, what are your thoughts on the finale?
Man, I mean, Yesenia here in the chat, she basically said it. Wow, what an ending. And listen, y'all, if this is for sure the series finale for Loki, what a way to go out. That was a banger of an episode. And honestly, for me, I said this off screen to Justin and George, who unfortunately couldn't join us tonight, but I said to them that I was kind of reminded of Theon Greyjoy from Game of Thrones in terms of story arc and character development and what have you. I feel like Loki has had the best story arc and character development in the MCU, because you start off as like this mercurial villain, right? And he, you know, has a Nexus event. He gets thrown into the TVA and he sees all the things that transpired on the sacred timeline. And, you know, he dies and it's like, okay, you have a choice. And he chose differently than what he was doing while on Earth and on Asgard and what have you. And it was an incredible story to tell. And listen, every scene with Tom Hiddleston is a masterclass of acting. I mean, that man is incredible. I feel the same as I do with Iron Man. You know, RDJ can only be Iron Man. Tom Hiddleston will always, and he, to me, will only be the person who could be Loki. Now, I'm curious for sure if this is the last time we'll see Loki, because I have mixed feelings. I know there's been interviews with Tom Hiddleston and what have you, and people are interpreting his words and what have you. And I just feel like, you know, this might be the last we see of Loki with regards to this storyline, but it's probably not going to be the last we'll see of Loki ever. Just saying.
Yeah, so, I was going to get into that because I really, you know, because you do feel the finality of it. And yeah, Tom Hiddleston, he went on the Jimmy Fallon on the Tonight Show last Friday after the finale, or Thursday. And he said that, you know, I mean, he didn't say it was like for sure, but he said, you know, it was kind of like his whole story kind of came full circle. And it was, you know, at the end of 14 years as the character and, you know, 6 movies and 12 episodes of the show. And you know, it was a long time. And I, you know, while I do appreciate like a perfect ending, you know, like what Robert Downey Jr. did with Iron Man, I think was basically a perfect way for that character to go out. I think Chris Evans with Captain America the same way. And I feel the same way with Tom Hiddleston, Loki. But I also feel like I don't think we've seen the end of any of these people. I think it's the end for now. And I think with with what Loki chooses, how he becomes like the god of time or the god of stories, and how he replaces He Who Remains. He controls the multi, or, you know, controls the timelines. I'd be really surprised if we don't see him again, especially down the line, because I feel like we got to see Thor and Loki reunite one more time. They've got to interact in some way, and that's so we'll see. But
I want to interject real quick, Justin. It's something that you just mentioned about, obviously, Loki taking the place of He Who Remains at the end of time. Call back to something earlier this season with Mobius, when he sees and notices that Loki's time slipping, and there's a reference about He Who Remains, and Mobius says to Loki, he goes, yes, well, I need a Loki who remains. Y'all got that now. You got that now, y'all. So yeah, that's incredible. You didn't remember that.
I didn't catch that. No, I didn't.
Anyway, in the chat here, we got Raheeb and Yesenia joining us. We appreciate you both being here. Raheeb says, this is a good way of ending the season, but it would have been even better if we got to see Loki time slip back to meet Odin, Frigga, and Thor.
Well, but going off of both of your guys' thoughts, and I don't think this is the last time we're seeing Loki. Now that he has control of time, we don't really know what happened in between him figuring it out and then enacting that plan. So
that's true.
He could have, because he went to go talk to Sylvie. He also went to go talk to Mobius. So he could have talked to Thor and Frigga and Odin too. And I'm still holding on to the hope that, like, in Endgame, you know, he told Thor, like, don't worry, brother, the sun will shine on us again. My heart is still waiting for that. The sun will shine on them again. When, how, where, why? Who knows?
Sunshine brothers!
They deserve it.
I mean, considering, and you make a good point, considering how much time Loki spent learning mechanics, engineering, and physics just to be able to save the TVA and to fix the loom. I mean, it took centuries. I mean, he's a god, yes. You know, he essentially will live forever. But my God, he spent centuries learning the things that I can barely comprehend. And who knows what else he learned all, you know, during that time. So yeah, it's very, very likely that he has learned all the things. We just have to wait to see what those things are.
It leaves it open, and that's what I like, is that it leaves it so in open for any future or past. It leaves it open for any time for Loki to return. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, and, for you know, speaking of leaving it open, and we're going to talk a lot more about Loki, but I want to talk about He Who Remains, because talk about leaving it open. The way they ended this series with, or this, you know, this season, I mean, Kang could definitely be the villain in that Avengers movie that's supposed to come out in 2026, the Kang Dynasty, or they could pivot and go in another direction. I feel like it's very open, because I mean, He Who Remains was taken out of power, but obviously the variants of that character are out in the multiverse. So they're out
there. The TVA are dealing with it, apparently.
Right. And they reference that, you know, what happened in Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, about how there's the variant issue that happened in the quantum realm. So, Brittany, I want to get your thoughts on that. What do you think about He Who Remains, about how this was, you know, his final episode, how that played out?
Like I said about Tom Hiddleston, every scene that you got with him is a masterclass. It's even more heightened when you see Jonathan Majors and Tom Hiddleston together in their scenes, where Loki is still trying to go further and further and further back, to the point where he's trying to figure out, what event can I change or rewrite that will have an impact on the time loom, right? And so because he thought, okay, we have to move Victor Timely faster to get to the loom, and that wasn't working. So he go back even further, to a point where he is preventing Sylvie from killing he who remains at the end of time, which was great to see, because I feel like that as a season finale for season one was just so good. I wanted more from Jonathan Majors, and we got more when he who remains paused Sylvie and addresses the thing that Loki says to him about, why don't you try and stop her? Like, you know, why are you going to let her kill you? And so, you know, he who remains pauses everything and says basically like, you know, so you figured it out basically, like how many times have we had this conversation, and goes on about, okay, you figured out time slipping, you know, but you haven't figured out how to pause time, that kind of thing. And Loki has to like one up him, as Loki should.
I loved it.
I know, because he who remains like reactivated Sylvie, and then Loki just kind of like with his hand, finger up in the air, bling, just twist of the wrist, and he's like, what makes you think this is the first time we've had this conversation? It's just like, it's so good. It's so, yeah, just so good. I mean, the dialogue between the two of them and how they carry on, because I got so used to seeing Victor Timely, right? You know, Jonathan Majors is Victor Timely. Then to see him back as he who remains, it's like, man, the guy is just smart, and he just toys with you. And it's a whole other level of villainy right there. It's so good. The scenes between the two of them are just so incredibly good. And basically he who remains gives Loki two options, you know, either you have to kill Sylvie in order to prevent any of this to transpire, and we just protect what we can. Or if you break the loom, you're going to cause this war with all my variants, and everything, including the sacred timeline, dies. Like there's no saving it. And so Loki's like, I'm going to find a third option. I'm going to find something else to try and save everything. So, I mean, their scenes are fantastic.
Oh yeah.
It was very like filled with tension. It was very like, I felt like I couldn't breathe, because I'm like, I don't want to miss something.
Yeah.
And thank you for sure. Yeah. Jinx was, she was being held against her will.
As most animals are. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, you kind of have to like really sit there and dissect what's happening, how they're feeding off each other's energy and what they're saying to one another. Because there's a moment for Loki where it's kind of having to accept the inevitable. Like he's obviously run this scenario hundreds, thousands of times, I'm sure. He can't bring himself to kill Sylvie. Okay, but what can he do different that's going to change the outcome? And there's nothing, right? Accepting the idea that either he has to kill Sylvie or he has to break the loom and basically bring inevitable death to everyone and everything. That's a lot. That's a lot to cope with and to deal with. And for everything that he who remains says, you believe everything he says. Like there's no ands, if, or buts, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he instills some sort of fear into you. And yeah, the tango between the two was just awesome. So good.
I think it's a lot that the fear of he who remains is mainly rooted in the fear of the unknown. We don't know everything, but we assume that he has experienced it. He has lived it. He has done it all. He's tried it all. Like Loki has. So that's kind of like where the fear and automatic assumption that, well, he has to know everything comes from, because we can't really fathom that. And I just love it, because it is so tense, those interactions, and seeing them build off of each other, like you said, is just wonderful compared to how many times, like we saw this one conversation, but how many times did they have it? How many variations of this exist? And I'm so interested in it. And that's some dedication from Loki.
Oh, I know. I mean, if he spent, I mean, going back to the previous episode where he's trying to figure out time slipping and he's trying to get everyone back together, and OB or AD was working on a temp pad and it took him 18, 19 months. It's like, good Lord. You know, we're seeing everything happen within minutes, of course, right? Because time moves differently. But I mean, how long has Loki spent having these conversations with He Who Remains and just trying to work out the equation, right? To change it. It's very daunting. It's really daunting and I'm sure exhausting. So, yeah.
Yeah, but Loki tried, you know, over and over, and every time he's like faster, you know, going back in time, trying to figure out, you know, how to, you know, before the Loom's explosion. And I just want to say, last week on this, on our review of episode 5, Amber, you totally called it. You said he was going to have to go back in time over and over and over. And I mean, that scene, I mean, those scenes were played out very well. But I want to give you kudos. And just what did you think about when you were watching that part? Yeah.
I was telling my friend earlier, my coworker friend who also likes the show, because how I've been saying every single episode that I think this whole thing is very cyclical, how it starts is how it ends and things like that. Yeah. I have never felt more right and wrong at the same time. Because I guess Loki proved it right. Because it is cyclical. It does kind of like the beginning is the end, and we see the beginning, and we see how we got there, and we see what needed to change in the beginning to get to where we are, and that's a whole new beginning. It's so interesting, and it is cyclical, and that's how my brain is thinking. And I'm so like, I'm right, but I'm also wrong because it didn't create the TVA. It just continued the TVA. But as to that specific question, I was very happy. I was just like, vindication. I was really interested to see how long it would take Loki to figure it out. And the reason I guessed it last episode was mainly just because my experience of Loki, again, he's my favorite character. So I know him very well. And his personality, I know that it's going to take him a second to figure it out because he thinks he needs to be at that exact moment because that was his first thought. We saw that. So I know that it's going to take him a while to figure it out. And once he does, then he's going to start going back further and further to try and find the root of the problem. And that's just how Loki brain works. I was very happy.
Well, I like how, and Brittany, you referenced this a little bit ago, when you know, he's trying to figure out all he needs to know. And he asks OB, he's like, how long will it take me to know everything that you know about mechanics, physics, and engineering? And, you know, OB says decades. And then He Who Remains, or Victor Timely says centuries. And I like how Loki says, let's assume I don't know much, but I'm a fast learner and I'm a god. I thought that was like, I mean, all the lines are really executed very well, but like
the flex.
There was like a sense of like comedy in that.
Oh yeah,
opening those scenes where it was like, mm-hmm. you know, every time it was faster, and he's explaining to him what to do, and like, you know, he's like basically saying their lines before they say them, and like,
yeah,
I just thought it like was a really great showcase for Loki the character, but also Tom Hiddleston the actor, because he kind of got to do everything in this episode. You know, like,
yeah,
we got the highs and lows, we got the laughs, we got, you know, we got despair,
comedy,
you know,
and
like,
tragedy.
Yeah, no,
very very totally, Shakespeare, yeah. And that's his favorite thing to do is Shakespeare. Yeah. So yeah,
I know. No, that's, I mean, why I said it.
I know. I mean, he even referenced Shakespeare when mm-hmm. he was speaking to He Who Remains about what was the line about where we die with the, how do you say it? Can't remember the line specifically, but it ended with we're born with the dead, and it's from Shakespeare. I just can't remember the specific writing, but anyway, I got off topic.
So, I know the quote.
What's the quote?
We die with the dying. We're born with the dead. We're born with the dead. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. Anyway, off tangent. So to see him be able to do everyone's lines and, you know, try to, you know, just get things moving, right? But especially with telling Obi at that moment that you described, Justin, about I'm a fast learner and I'm a god. It's like, just by the way, I'm a god. So if it's going to take me a while, it's cool. Like, yeah, you know, I've got powers, right? And the whole like well, it'll take decades. And then Victor Timely, centuries. And sorry. But then Loki like gives them both this look. He looks at Victor and then he looks at Obi like, really? It's just so good. It's so good. I'm telling you, it's a masterclass when you see Tom Hiddleston perform. And everyone that he's worked with in this show, it's been amazing. It's amazing chemistry that he has with Owen Wilson, who's Mobius, with, I cannot pronounce his name to save my life, but Obi. I'm still going to refer to him as Data from the Goonies, because that's how I first remember it's him.
Kiwi Kwan.
That guy. Okay. And Data from the Goonies. So yeah, I mean, the comedic timing that Tom displays, even while he's watching Victor Timely go out in the suit on the gangway, and he's like reminding him all these little things to do as he's making his way out on the gangway. And he's like, okay, you're doing brilliant. One foot in front of the other. You're doing so well. You're so brave. You're being so brave. Like the motivation behind it, but it was just kind of dry at the same time. It was just kind of matter of factly, like, yes, one foot in front of the other, you know.
It's just my thought. My thought is he's probably experienced it where halfway out there, Victor freaked out and he's just like, yeah. Okay, so we need verbal encouragement. Mm. Okay. So like he's giving that verbal encouragement by like, you're so brave. You're so brave. You got this. Like, it felt to me like Loki's done this.
Yes. Like many a time.
Especially with the, like, don't put it down.
Yeah. Right. What don't did put I tell the multiplier. You? Yeah. Yeah. No, it reminds me of, and I can't think of this, I guess it's rowboating, like the Olympic sport, you know, they're making a movie about it, funny enough. But you have the one non-rower facing the team and like telling them to, you know, row. That's what that kind of remind me of, right? Like the constant motivation, the constant reminding of things that need to be done. And I don't know, it just, even that was so funny to watch because he was just kind of like, kind of bored in a way, but he has to like still keep the faith.
I want to know how those conversations, that those centuries of him learning engineering and science, like went. Like, did he specifically go to OB like 500 years in the past and be like, teach me everything? It's like, I want to know.
Sheldon Cooper, Oppenheimer, Niels, you know, Bohr, you know, all the people in the Manhattan Project, Socrates.
I'm so interested. Doc?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Back to the future.
Yeah.
I was going
that, absolutely. Yeah. He went back to ancient Greece where it all began.
Doctor.
Oh, goodness. Here we go. Sorry.
Okay.
No, we open that door. We can't close that door.
It was the one time door.
Reference.
Damn it.
So one Doctor Who reference. That's it. I promise.
Time door, right? Yeah.
Time door. Yeah. Goodness.
So another thing I thought was great.
Go
ahead, Brittany.
No, that's it.
No, I was just going to say another thing I thought was kind of funny was, you know, when we had the scene with Jonathan Majors and Tom Hiddleston, great scene, but I like how, you know, when Sylvie is, you know, getting past him and then killing him and then, you know, he remains is like, see you soon. And you just hear this stuff over and over and over. It's just, I thought they played that really well. Like it was pretty funny to hear like him get stabbed, like, you know, because he's not trying to put up any kind of fight. That's his plan is to die and just to hear the same line over and over, but in different ways. And
like, you know. Sylvie being like, you'll have to go in. Him cutting her off. Like, I have to kill you. I get it. Like,
it's like, I know. It's kind of like when Cap was fighting 2012 Cap in Endgame and 2012 Cap is like, I could do this all day. He's like, yeah, I know. Like, I get it. Like shit. Yeah. Same thing. So got a newcomer in the chat. Hello. Thank you so much for joining us in Vero Earth 2. I think I got that right. So, hello. Thank you for joining us. Let us know your thoughts about the season 2 finale of Loki.
Exactly. So, from one great scene to another, let's talk about Loki talking to Mobius for what turned out to be the final time. Let's get into that. we, you know, Loki goes back to what was, I believe, their first meeting in the first season, correct? Mm-hmm. Is that when they first met?
When they were in the theater room and he's being interviewed and all that stuff. And that's when Mobius is about to show him like everything that transpired with the, with Loki's timeline. And it's very sad.
Yeah. So Mobius tells Loki this story about how he couldn't prune an eight-year-old variant who would go on to kill 5,000 people, but Renslayer, she could. And so then Mobius makes the comment. I think this is pretty good. He said, you know, most purpose is more burden than glory, which, you know, kind of gave a little bit of insight or perspective to.
It gutted me, is what it did.
It was almost like, in a way, Loki seeking some sort of permission or just some sort of validation, because he was already kind of maybe thinking, okay, there has to be a different way and it might involve me, because He Who Remains had said about making the big sacrifice, and that's why he sits in the big chair alone, right? And to keep the order of things. And that's just what it was. And so Loki, I think, having to realize that he couldn't have it all. Yes, he could save his friends and what have you, but it just meant that he wasn't going to be there. And so trying to decide what to do, because there, you know, Loki said it time and time again, he was burdened with glorious purpose. You know, of course, he thought it meant that he needed to be king and rule everyone and everything. And that's not what would happen, of course. And so once he had that conversation with Mobius, I think it finally started, like the wheels started turning, thinking, okay, now I really know what I need to do, but I, you know, have to do one other thing, which mm-hmm. would be talk to Sylvie. We'll get to that. But yeah, I feel like in many ways, because Loki has developed such a close relationship with Mobius, that there is true love and care for one another. Granted, the Mobius that Loki was talking to in that moment doesn't know how close they are, but just how much Loki really needed to hear Mobius' perspective of things. And that's giving him that sort of validation.
I think he just needed that. That is exactly what he needed to give him the strength to do it.
Mm.
Like, not just like a kick in the butt, but like literally just him being like, okay, I know what I have to do and I'm dreading it. I'm scared. I'm not scared, but intimidated. Because he even said in the last episode, he doesn't want a throne. The last thing he wants is a throne. He doesn't want to be alone. He just wants his friends. And it's so sad, but he knows that he's going to have to be alone to do this if he's going to be holding everything together. And he knew what he was getting into. So I feel like him going to Mobius and to Sylvie was intentionally just to look for the strength to do it.
For sure. Justin, what are your thoughts on Mobius and Loki's final exchange?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty emotional. I mean, even though, like you said, it's a Mobius from last season, one of their first interactions. But I mean, those actors are so great together on screen. It was just like, wow, it's like they really weren't that together that long. You know, like these shows like kind of flew by. It was only 12 episodes total. But I thought it was like a really strong like friendship or connection in the MCU. Like, we haven't had a lot of that lately, you know, because we've had all these projects that are not necessarily connected. And so I think that, like, first off, it was just like, man, this is a bummer that, like, this is the end of this. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to see Mobius probably again in the MCU. I believe, you know, he got kind of a perfect ending. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But I think like Amber said, it's like, you know, Mobius told Loki was what he needed to hear. And he told him about Renslayer, saying, you know, she knew the hard thing to do. It was the thing that had to be done. And he said, you know, it was like an impossible decision, but she had to make it. And he said, there's no comfort. You just choose your burden. And then with that, Loki shook his hand and said, thank you. And then as they're shaking hands, Mobius spaghettifies, and then it's like Loki knows what he has to go do. I mean, he's going to talk to Sylvie next, but I thought it was like, I thought it was really well done the way they paced the episode and how he kind of had his like farewell with you know, the main characters.
Yeah, I mean, because a lot of like in season one, it's kind of, you're made to really feel like, obviously, Loki helping the TVA locate his variant, which is Sylvie, right? He's clearly going to have some sort of connection to his variant, right? And I was really weirded out with that kiss at the very end of season one. I'm just like, of course, like Loki's in love with himself. Of course, like it totally makes sense. It didn't make it any, you know, stranger, but I mean, or didn't take it away. Anyway, point being that you see how like Loki really cares for these two individuals, Mobius and Sylvie, but the way that they respond to him is very different, right? And you see that more at the very end of the episode when Mobius tells B-15 that, hey, I'm leaving the TVA. Like, do you think anyone is going to miss a washed up old analyst with a heart of gold? And I think that was written very well, because you think of Loki's colors, which are gold and green, much like the graphics that we have here for our background. You look at what Loki was wearing when he was transforming, right, to, you know, take on the mantle of, you know, he who remains, if you will, or being the god of time or god of stories. He's wearing only green. The only thing that's gold is his throne, which he finally got a throne, right? It's gold. But I think the line of heart of gold has something to do with Loki, to share, like to represent how close they were and just how much they love one another. Like, you can interpret that as you will, whether it's love, like on a friendship level, or love more than friends. It doesn't really matter to me. But like the very fact that Mobius just felt like he couldn't stay at the TVA because his friend wasn't with him, like his other half, if you will, wasn't with him. And so by going back to the sacred timeline to see the life that, you know, he was plucked from, and wanting to, you know, just kind of wait a while. I don't know if y'all caught this, but like the light that was hitting Mobius as he's talking to Sylvie, it was green and gold. Like, Loki's with him always. It was so great. And so like, he's like grieving in a way that his friend's not there, while Sylvie's kind of like, yeah, Loki gave us a chance. And, you know, what are you going to do with your life? I don't know what I'm going to do, but okay, bye.
Yeah,
that's how I felt, yeah. Right? Like, that
it did feel like
it irked me.
It felt very dismissive.
Yes. I'm like, you very, you are like old school. I say old school, but like old Loki, where you only cared about yourself and you wanted what you wanted. Like, you didn't evolve like this, like our Loki prime, right? And that's why I said, like, at the top of the show, Loki has had like the best character development in story arc, I think, in any character of the MCU. But you really just see the two people that he cared about the most, how they responded to his decision of bearing the burden, right? And yeah, I was like, wow, that's great storytelling. Beautiful. I'm done.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. So, you know, as we're watching, you know, Loki take over the you know, he's like the loom, he's destroying the loom, and he's like grabbing the branches and putting them together. Amber, I want to get your thoughts on it, because then like we see like there's a tree.
Yes.
And I know you have a lot of thoughts on the tree, so just take it away.
Are you okay?
We're ready.
This is Amber's show now. This is Amber's show, everyone.
Yeah, here we go.
I'm telling you, you're triggering a sleeper agent here. So, yes, it looks like a tree. And that tree actually looks very, very similar to a very important tree in Norse mythology, Yggdrasil, the world tree. And Thor actually talked about Yggdrasil in the first Thor movie when he was explaining the Nine Realms to Jane, because all of the realms are held within Yggdrasil, which I think is kind of cool that that's also what we see. Everything in the world, everything is kept in this tree. And it has a very big importance in Norse mythology. It's an evergreen tree. It is always green, and green is very important, as Brittany explained with Loki. And it is noted that, like, in Norse mythology, that it shivers and, like, and quakes at the start of Ragnarok, which was triggered by Loki. And then it does die at the end of Ragnarok, and it gets reborn, and it gets replanted, regrown, whatever. It's rebuilt at the, because Ragnarok, like I've said in the past episodes, is cyclical, just like everything in Norse mythology. So the beginning is the end, is the beginning is the end, is the beginning is the end. So, like, even like the roots of the tree, if you look up like symbolic symbols of Yggdrasil, it's very much the branches go curve down and become the roots. So it literally just continues, keeps going that way. But it's very, very cool with Loki's connection to Ragnarok and the Yggdrasil being the world tree and all of that connection. And another tiny little tidbit getting away from Yggdrasil is the Loki is, and also more than Norse mythology, is the god of spiders and weaving. So weaving all of the branches together and holding them together is really interesting to me.
Mind blown.
Brittany did it.
Literally. Mind blown.
Yeah. This has been Mythology Corner with Amber.
We need to make that like a regular thing, you know? Wow. I like it.
But I really loved the tree. The second that I saw that, well, granted, I've always thought it looked like a tree just sideways because that's how the loom looks. That or a squid, but whatever. But when it turned green because Loki had gathered it all together, and even before it started tilting, I was just like, tree. It looks like a tree. It looks like Yggdrasil. And then, like, I'm pretty sure I just screamed Yggdrasil at the screen while watching.
God, can only imagine.
Just because it looks like that. And I have several friends who do not know the mythology like I do, and they wanted me to send them their, my in the moment first thoughts as things were happening. And all I just said was, like, in huge block letters, Yggdrasil. And
I probably would have looked at that. I probably would have looked at that and been like, is this like a major typo or something? You know?
Oh,
like,
yeah, I'll type it in the chat because.
Yeah.
So people in the chat know what I'm saying.
Yeah. It sounds cool. It sounds like something very Tolkien, you know, but yeah, it's a thing. And so does the word itself, it actually means. What?
Or that's just the name anything? Of the tree.
That's just the name of the tree. Okay.
Right, we'll it's called the world tree.
World tree. Cool. We'll go with that.
As
so here,
far as we know, it's been there since before, like in Norse mythology. It's been there forever. It's always been there. It always will be. And literally it is. Like, it's always been there. Like, it was an old ancient tree by the time that Norse mythology even starts. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's very interesting to hear about this.
Here we have on the screen how to say the world tree's name.
Yeah. And if anyone's listening, just not seeing visual, like just auditory podcast, it's spelled Yggdrasil. Yggdrasil.
See, every time you say that, I hear the Spanish letter Y, Y. I don't know. But anyway,
it does sound similar.
We need to do like a language corner here at the Watchers in the Basement. Sorry, I keep moving around. My camera's out of focus. Anyway, moving on. But yeah, I think to kind of see that kind of come full circle with the world tree being mentioned in Thor for the very first time, and something that even Raheeb here brought up, which is a great tie-in to Thor. Odin knew that Loki would become king if you see Thor 1. Odin said to them, when they were in Odin's vault. They're young boys. Only one of you can ascend to the throne, but both of you were born to be kings. So yeah, that was really cool. And kind of on that note, full circle, I did mention off screen that I was going to mention Odin, right? And I know Amber knows far more about, you know, this stuff than I do, but with Odin and Loki, the last thing that Loki said to his friends before walking out into the gangway and transforming into the glorious god that he is, because let's just be real, those horns look freaking amazing. Okay, I want to make them. That's going to be my costume for next Halloween. I swear to God, I'm going to be the god or goddess of time and or stories. It doesn't matter. I'm doing it. But the last thing that Loki said to his friends were, I know what I want. I know what kind of god I want to be for you, for all of us. And that's echoing what he said to Odin before he fell. And we all thought that he died at the very end. He said the same thing to Odin. And I just found out that that was completely unscripted. Tom Hiddleston went to either the director, producer, writer, doesn't matter, went to someone and said, should I say this line that I said to Odin and Thor? And they were like mind blown. They're like, why didn't we think of that? Like, that's freaking amazing. Yes, do it. Let's go. And I just think, because we've been talking about time and everything being cyclical and, you know, Ouroboros and everything that deals with Loki in the sense, it's like, oh my God, that was the perfect way of him going out before he becomes the god of time and stories. Yeah. Just like, oh!
I love it when Loki possesses Tom Hiddleston and just does things. It's great.
Well, that's the thing about Tom Hiddleston is, as he referenced in that Jimmy Fallon interview, is that he played the character for 14 years, but also he's become an expert on Loki, which I appreciate that as a fan of this stuff when the actors really care. Because a lot of, you know, sometimes they're just like, well, you know, doing this for the paycheck. I'll be invested for the eight months that we're shooting or whatever that I'm out. But it seems like he was like really like had really immersed himself in the character and understanding, like, like you said, Brittany, he had a better line for how to, you know, potentially
so good.
You know, say goodbye to one of his friends than even the writers did. So I appreciate that he put that work in and that effort.
For sure. For sure. Because I think this was the only season, because there's only two, where Tom Hiddleston was credited as being an executive producer to the series. And so, and I read somewhere else about when Owen Wilson was being sought out to play a character, that instead of having, whether it was the agent or producers or whomever, pitch the story to him, he actually had Tom Hiddleston, I don't know who started it, but Tom Hiddleston was the one who spoke to Owen and like broke down everything about like Loki, the MCU, you know, the significance of his storyline and this and that, what have you. So yeah, like to Justin's point, to have an actor who's so invested in their character outside of just the time frame that they play the character, and you want to craft it, you want to develop it and what have you. I mean, it just makes you love the actor and the character that much more just because of that nurturing aspect to it. So.
Yeah. So good. And then to get back to tree talk, but not as hyper-focused as Amber can be, but just in general, you know, it makes sense that, like, you know, you have all these branch timelines, like, you know, branches are part of trees, right? So it's made sense for it to be a tree. And I like how when we come back to the TVA, you know, they even have adopted, like, now their murals show these growing branches, and it's like, we grow together is now like one of their slogans. And I like how, like, it's like completely taken over this new TVA.
Yeah. It only makes sense because of what they've witnessed. Loki making that ultimate sacrifice, right? And to weave everything together to be something nurturing. Because when I first watched the episode and saw when he blew up the loom, right? And you saw all the threads and whatnot just kind of going everywhere. And I'm like, okay, this is not good. But then when he starts reaching out for every single one of them and he, I guess, magics each thread or whatever, it cuts away to Obi saying the branches are dying. And I thought, well, why is Loki killing them all? Like, how dare you? And so it wasn't until I did a little bit more research and I talked to people and did the second rewatch that I realized, okay, yeah, he's not killing those branches. He's mending them. He's trying to bring them all back to give everyone that chance, right? And I was like, okay, so he's not being destructive. He's actually, you know, doing good, and he's trying to save everyone and give them what they want. And I was like, that's just so good. It's so good.
About that, actually, I wanted to touch on it. I kind of forgot it during my tree talk because I got excited. is that, and I have mentioned this before, that Loki being a god of chaos, he's the catalyst for chaos in Norse mythology. He starts Ragnarok, end of the world. And he's always kind of been that, like, if you go into Norse myth, every single problem Norse myth that features Loki is just Loki caused a problem, they get Loki to fix it. Yep. And that is so interesting because that's exactly what happened. He went out he destroyed the loom, caused chaos, and therefore he's the only one who can control it. Because he's the catalyst of chaos. He started it, got to end it. And I love it so much. Because for something, like, we know that the MCU is not going to be completely accurate to the mythology. There's no way it can be. Yeah. But the way that they still, like, honor the mythology and honor all of these references while still, like, just for people like me to notice is so beautiful. And I loved it. I loved every second of this episode. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, it's so good.
So I want to continue to talk about the new TVA. We see Ouroboros, he brings back Miss Minutes and he writes a new TVA handbook with Timely as a co-author. But then we also see that, like, in the timeline, that Timely, back in 1863 as a child, does not receive the TVA handbook. So they basically show us that, you know, it's not, they've broken the cycle of what happened before with the He Remained. So I thought that was kind of touching or pretty cool. I wanted to talk about Ouroboros, just to kind of put a pin on him. You know, I know... I'm not just gonna say we, but I know I made predictions like, oh, is he a variant of He Who Remains? And turns out we were wrong. All right, I especially was wrong. Were y'all surprised? Amber's like cackling kind of maniacally down there.
I hate to say I told you so.
you were right. I guess as always, we should just be like, you know, like if I think we always want these characters to be more than they are because, like, we have like TV brain. You know, we watch so much of this stuff. We're like, oh, that person's got to be something else, or there's a sinister side to everybody, or whatever.
Yeah,
turns out he wasn't. I'll go to Amber first. Obviously, I don't guess you were surprised by that, but, like, what did you think about Ouroboros' kind of arc over the season?
I just really liked it because it's he's actually out of his box a little bit, which I like. He's not just alone in the basement anymore. He's out and about. He's in the time theater with everybody. He's like actually involved with everyone. And I really liked that. The fact that he's actually now more involved with the TVA instead of just, you know, in there to fix things. Because what we can kind of assume from how Obi talks is that he's been alone this whole time. And the only communication, if at all, he has is Miss Minutes, because he only does maintenance and repairs when Miss Minutes can't. So it was just kind of how often does that actually happen? And it's just, I liked it. 'Cause I've always liked him So I thought it was really interesting and good to see him. And I liked his ending. I liked how it came about.
Brittany, what about you? Were you surprised that Ouroboros wasn't a Kang variant or wasn't a Loki variant? He was just himself.
Man, I wanted to be right about something, and I was so wrong. So very wrong. No, I mean, it was kind of, you want an explanation of things. How is he so in tune with everything that's going on with the TVA if he didn't perhaps share the same intellect as He Who Remains? So to me, it seemed logical to assume he's a variant of He Who Remains, right? Shares the same knowledge and may not be as evil as He Who Remains, because we obviously saw that with Victor Timely. We also know that variants don't necessarily have to look alike. We saw that with Loki and Sylvie. So to me, it was kind of supporting a theory of maybe Ouroboros could be a variant of He Who Remains. He's just quirky and lovable and just, he knows the things. I'm actually kind of glad it didn't happen that way, but I also wanted to be right. Anyway, that being said, I do appreciate that in this newfound TVA, that with their campaign of let's grow together and nurture and whatnot, that's really solidifying with Obi being out of the basement, right? He's up with everyone. He's working on Miss Minutes. Granted, not instilling a lot of confidence that she won't turn into a, you know, murdering lunatic, but that remains to be seen. Not the last time we're going to see Miss Minutes, y'all. I'm just saying it here now. We're going to see her in a different installment of an MCU favorite. Most likely, it's not the last time for sure. I really don't think it's going to be the last time we see any of these characters. It's just, it might not just be in Loki, the series anymore, but I think we're going to see them in across the multiverse.
What about Ravonna Renslayer? Because let's talk about, she was briefly, she wasn't in episode 5, I don't believe. And then she's barely in this episode. We see her toward the end. She awakens, she's in the void. And she sees what we can assume is a Liath, which is like the smoke monster in the void. Amber, what did you think about Renslayer's kind of end in this series? And like, what do you think might be next for this character, if anything?
I thought it was ominous, considering in the background behind her, you see a pyramid, and we do see a Kang variant as a pharaoh.
Right.
It made me a little nervous. probably that's going to happen in the future, or her future. And we gotta be specific about time now. I also thought it was a little confused on the meaning of the floor of the TVA, like for all time always being like shown in the grass, like when the grass was blown away, it showed that. And that's the same flooring that Mobius and B-15 were standing in. Because part of me was like, I saw somewhere where someone was like, it's just a piece of that from being, you know, pruned. Like it's not really that actual place, but part of me is also like, did the TVA crumble and that's what remained?
Right.
And because physically in space, where is the loom? Physically in space, where is the TVA? Physically in space, where is He Who Remains His castle? I need to know these things. So that's what I thought, but I genuinely have no idea. But that pyramid did stick out to me, so I did consider that
is a great point. I kind of forgot briefly about the pharaoh variant of He Who Remains, or Kang, even though Kang wasn't actually mentioned at all throughout the series. So with that, I was a little confused with Renslayer. I completely forgot about the void. I know, fake fan, you know, but when we saw that purple storm, you could hear the thunder and everything, like something was coming towards her. My initial thought went to the mid-credit for Doctor Strange to Multiverse of Madness, where we see what's her face? Clara?
Well, yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
She's wearing purple. She opens like time or something, and you see like purple storm and whatever. She's telling Strange, you know, let's go. And I thought maybe it was that. I'm like, oh God, here we have Doctor Strange coming into the mix now. But then, Justin, I think it was you who reminded me about Eliath, the creature beast thing that, you know, lives in the void and everyone tries to avoid it or else it gets, you know, eaten. But I don't know if it was a way to suggest, and to Amber's point about that placard on the floor
for all time always.
Thank you. I just spaced out on that. Sorry. But the word always, it was something, you know, that she had said to he who remains before he wiped everyone's memories and you know, just double crossed her. Right. So I think it's just there as a subtle reminder of the fact that, you know, you got screwed. You're still getting screwed. And now you're about to die, probably. So I think it might have just been like a conclusion to her and her character and her storyline, unlike that of Loki.
Justice works, kind of.
The look on her face, though, wasn't so much fear. She looks kind of determined. So I wonder.
I felt like she looked pissed.
Yeah, like, or that too. But I mean, I don't think she didn't look afraid. She looked like she was, you know, mad and like maybe she's, you know, got a plan to get back.
See, here we are. I think we're trying to make it into something it's not going to be. We want more.
Obi burned you guys? Is that what you're saying?
Jesus.
What's that? Yeah.
Did Obi burn you guys? Is that what you're saying?
Oh.
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't know. I thought that her face looked more determined than frightened anyway. But
okay.
What that means, I have the fondest.
Or maybe just, again, having to accept your fate. You know, like,
yeah.
Frack. Like, this, all right, this is it. I brought this upon myself. Now, of course, she's not going to admit that to herself, but I think it's serving as a conclusion to her story. And I mean, how is she going to get out of the void? She doesn't have Miss Minutes on her side. She, you know, doesn't have allies anymore. Also, what happened to Brad Wolf? Like, what happened to that dude?
Yeah.
Like, he just kind of disappeared.
Disappeared. He was in the episode briefly.
He's on his own timeline.
Yeah.
Maybe.
He's doing Zaniac 2. Yeah.
Zaniac 2.
Two Zaniac 2 Furious or something.
Stop it. Here and now. Good grief.
The middle movie in the Zaniac trilogy.
Oh.
Return of the Zaniac.
Moving on.
Okay.
No more.
Don't make me prune you.
So moving on. Let's get to Mobius's final scene. Mobius and Sylvie are talking as he's watching another version of Dawn with his children from a distance. And I like how, you know, she asked him if he's ready to leave. And he said, I might just, wait here for a little bit, let time pass. But that was really well, like, that was a great, like, walk off line for that character. So,
great way to break my heart.
Brittany, that's not the reaction I expected because it is Owen Wilson we're talking about. So I wondered if you were like, there we go.
Wow.
She does it so much better.
Amber's pretty good too. Yeah, wow. We should have a wow off here. Yeah.
Man, and we're from Texas, Justin.
I know. Well, we don't have like a, you know, we're not the most talented people in the world necessarily. We're just
speak for yourself.
Y'all are plenty talented.
Damn right I am.
See, I was fishing for a compliment, reeled it right in. Did it.
Did you hear that? Reeled it right in. Oh my goodness. Here we go.
I also said y'all strictly for your guys' benefit. I never say y'all.
Yeah. Well, it's just shorter. It's more economical. Yeah, it's convenient too.
It's more economical. So. Yeah. I was actually hoping we would finally get a wow from Owen Wilson. Like
Yeah.
Didn't happen. No. Didn't happen. We didn't get a wow. Like I would have. Especially when Loki went back or he went to the branch timeline and he's talking to Dawn, and Dawn hearing everything that Loki's telling him, and it sounds unbelievable, right? And I was just kind of anticipating, wow. And it didn't happen. Didn't happen.
Nope. But didn't happen. Missed the very last. There we go.
Yeah.
Give us the wow cut of Loki season two. That's what we need. The wow cut. Yeah.
Nothing.
So from
just
from,
different from, parts in the whole series where he just could have gone, wow.
Yeah.
Jesus. That's what our pods come down to.
We should work on that. Yeah. Let's talk about the final shot of the series of the season. We the shot of Loki surrounded by the branches. Look on his face. He's officially become the god of stories, the god of time, the keeper of time. And the music hits so hard. Natalie Holt is the composer, and it's the music. The theme song is excellent, but the music in the finale was just like so like perfect. I was like, man, I'm like talk about like hitting every note, like literally, but also like you know, when you want to feel a certain way, when you want to feel happy, when you want to feel sad, like
yeah,
the dramatic conclusion of the final shot, seeing Loki's face, I thought it was just like pitch perfect. Amber, what did you think about the final shot of the series?
I mean, I had to watch it again because my visual was blurred from tears. it was beautiful. You're right. The music was, it's swelled in such a beautiful way.
Yeah.
And it was reminiscent of Loki's entire story. And it was just so monumental. The whole, that's, I think, the word that I'm going to stick with. It was monumental. It was impactful. And his expression, because he was crying, but he was also like sad, but heartbroken, but resolute, and like also like, I know I have to do this. This is the right thing, and just like that, like gentle, like slow blink, and I just wanted to give him a hug. It was so sad, and. It's so sad, but it makes so much sense for his character that it's like, I can't really be mad about it. Yeah. And it's just, oh, my heart. And I keep seeing all of these edits on TikTok and Instagram and things like that. And just like using the Thor, his quote to Odin, like that we had already talked about, like being his last words to his friends, to Mobius and Sylvie, like, it's all just building up, and I just cry my eyes out. Yeah. Someone else talk, please.
So
I need a moment.
I really do think that, you know, I think it's so great the way the episode started with the previously on, how it showed him and like his first big line in Avengers where he's like, I'm Loki of Asgard. Like I thought that like to see the look on his face and to see where he ended up, and he was like, he wanted to be a king. He became a king, but it's like one of the directors of the series described the ending as it's a bittersweet tragedy. I was like, that's like perfect. That's like exactly what this ending was to me. Brittany, what do you think about that?
It's poetic cinema, because you think of that saying of you either die a hero or live long enough to be the villain.
And the Dark Knight.
Yeah. But you think of the complete opposite for Loki, right? Completely opposite. It's completely backwards for him. You would expect him to go out being the villain, right? Even in Infinity War, when he gets killed from the jump, and you're like, oh my God, this is the end. This is it. This is the last that we get of Tom Hiddleston as Loki, right? Granted, we saw him Loki die many times before that. But for me, at least, I felt that was the end. Like, there was no way of bringing him back, and then enter Endgame and going back in time, and he gets the Tesseract and he's able to, you know, space his way out of there, right? And hello, Loki series. Also, shout out to the Hulk. Or being pissed about having to take stairs, we wouldn't have gotten a Loki series without him. So shout out to the big guy in green. So yeah, thanks, I was rewatching it. Thanks, Bruce. Yeah, I was rewatching Endgame last night, and I'm like, oh my god, it's because of you. It's so good. But yeah, it's poetic cinema, truly, with the overall arc, the development of Loki, and how well Tom Hiddleston has played this role to the very end. Like, even when he was walking out on the gangway, transforming into God and blasting the loom, right? You saw just how much like force and how much strength went into doing that. And George off screen had asked if maybe Loki kind of like transformed some way, something about turning into an old man. Don't think it was so, but remember, classic Loki in the void, you know, made the ultimate sacrifice, right, with Eliath. And so I think it's just something about like Lokis do have the potential of doing more than just being the god of chaos and whatnot, right? Like you can be good, you can do like the good thing. And it's just kind of curious how we've now seen that in the series. I will forever be saddened to see that look on Loki's face, but just how well Tom Hiddleston like was able to channel that sort of emotion and convey that just with facial expressions alone, because it's like, you know, he's tired, you know, he's defeated to some degree, but he knows that he at least was like the best chance of hope in order to give his friends life, right? Keep the sacred timeline alive and everything. And it's just, it fell on him, and it's wonderful. It really is.
Well said. Well said. Raheem had a question that I wanted to talk to. I think it's kind of a perfect transition. His last question. So, you know, after seeing the ending of the season, do you think Marvel should have made this into a Loki movie rather than season two? Now, Amber, I saw you mentioned you've already answered in the chat, but for those who are maybe listening, how would you answer that question?
What I said is I'm very happy with it as a show. Like, I would have loved a movie because, again, I've loved Loki since Jump. Like, Thor 1, I was ride or die for Loki. And I, you know, like, my siblings, like, and my friends, like, throughout the entire, I guess, journey of the past 14 years, they're always just like, why Loki? Like, why Loki? He's not that important. He's not that big of a deal. So for him to have had, like, yeah, I don't know. Uh-huh. Brittany's face.
Rude. My God.
Yeah. Trust me, I've known people who are just like, I don't understand why you think Loki is so much bigger of a deal than he actually is. And I'm like, what? And so, like, if he actually had a movie, I could kind of rub it in everyone's face. So to me, I would have loved a movie, but I would be too scared that they would have rushed it. It wouldn't have been as beautifully paced as the show has been.
I will second that. This is probably one of the very few times I will ever say about a TV show, because I really don't watch TV shows as is. I'm more of a movie watcher. But this is one of the very few times I will say that I will have, I think I would have been a little bit displeased with a movie, because I feel like you needed to digest everything that went on in each episode. You needed that week in order to process, rewatch before you got to the next stage of the story.
Yeah.
And I'm a binge watcher. Like, I'm a full on binge watcher, but I don't think I would have been able to absorb the story and these characters as well as I have, either by binging or by a movie. I feel like they would have cut corners. They would have made it look cheesy, because I don't feel like Loki looks cheesy. It's a lot of CGI, yes, but like, I think it's incredibly well done. It doesn't feel to me like they're on a soundstage and in costumes and it's just like poorly done. it looks good and it feels real and it feels like something that could actually happen, you know, in our world. Maybe I'm just crazy. I don't think a movie would have been the right way to go. I think with the series, granted, it might just be two seasons. I think that was the smarter choice because it left me anticipating that next episode. Like I was hanging on for it.
Well, also, like, I think that kind of goes back to what I've said previous episodes, that time travel can be very confusing. And having it in weekly installments can have, like you said, give everyone time to digest it, absorb it, understand it, look up things if they need to. I feel like that we wouldn't have had that time. We wouldn't have had that ability to be able to do that in a movie format. I mean, that's why a lot of like time travel things can get very confusing. And like, that's, again, one of the things that I've heard people were unhappy with the multiverse movies that have been coming out. They're just, it's too confusing, all crammed into one movie. And I feel like having it as a show in itty little tiny bit bites was perfect. And
agreed.
The explanations from the characters fell right in the moments when they needed to. They never felt like they were trying, like, oh yeah, I'm having this conversation just so the audience knows what's happening. Like, it definitely felt natural.
Yes. It flowed, for sure.
Yes, just like time is supposed to.
is an illusion.
So it's...
I agree with you both. I think that maybe Marvel would have maybe liked it to be a movie, given their recent issues, especially with, like, the Marvels. I think Loki would have done better at the box office than the Marvels did. Yeah. And we're going to talk about the Marvels in our next episode, so join us for that. But I agree. TV was the right way to go with this show. And this show was, it's one of nine MCU shows, but it's the only one that got a second season so far. And I think it's the only one that's going to get a second season. And that leads me to just asking y'all, do y'all think that this show is the best of the MCU TV offerings? And I can refresh your memory if you need me to. And maybe I should. Okay, so here, I'll go in chronological order. Starting in 2021, we had WandaVision. Then we had The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Then we had Loki Season 1. And What If... there's going to be a What If Season 2. That's actually coming up. We had What If Season 1, Hawkeye Season 1. Now we go to 2022. We had Moon Knight, Miss Marvel, and She-Hulk. And then in this year, we've had Secret Invasion and Loki Season 2. Amber, I'll go to you. I think I know the answer, but is Loki by far your favorite of those shows? And how many of those other shows have you actually watched?
I saw WandaVision and Moon Knight. WandaVision brought back Darcy, who's a side character that is not very important at all in the MCU, but I love her. So I love the actress, Kat Dennings, who plays her. So I'm always happy to see Darcy. But, I liked WandaVision, but it just wasn't my jam. I watched it once and I'm okay. The other ones, I just didn't really feel compelled to actually watch them. I wanted to, and I mean, I read a lot about it, and people who actually have watched it told me a lot about them. So I kind of know the gist of what happens in them, but I don't really pay attention. Moon Knight, if you haven't figured that out, guys, I like mythology and history. So that does extend to Egyptology. So I do, I went a little bananas with Moon Knight. Moon Knight's a very close second to Loki. I think it's just nothing compares to Loki because of how perfect this was. It was just excellent. Excellent. Perfection. I cannot make this any better. And Moon Knight, I loved Moon Knight, but I know it wasn't as popular as other things. And I can respect that even though I'm bummed about it. But yeah, so it goes Loki, Moon Knight, WandaVision, because those are the only three I've seen.
Okay, fair. Brittany, what about you? How would you rank them? I mean, maybe not rank all of them, but what's your favorite of all the shows?
So I have seen all the shows, of course. Yep. And hey, welcome to the chat, McDorks. Appreciate y'all being here. We're discussing the MCU shows that we like the most now that Loki has seemingly concluded. I will have to go with WandaVision still being my number one, because it really honestly was just so out of the box. And I fell in love more with Lizzie Olsen as Wanda Maximoff, or evolving into the Scarlet Witch. I mean, she arguably is the most powerful MCU character next to maybe Doctor Strange and maybe Captain Marvel. You know what I mean? But like,
Loki.
Yeah, for sure. But with that show, it was just so different. It was so like creative in its own respect. It's kind of in its own sort of category. If we took that out of the equation in general, it for sure is gonna be Loki. Loki was so anticipated, at least on my behalf, because I wanted to obviously know, like, where did he go when he just transported away from the events of the Avengers 2012, when everyone went back in time. And how is that going to be explained? Because we obviously saw him die, and the way that they were able to piece things together in a way, kind of like, not so much retcon it, but just make it work. Because when you try to retcon things, it doesn't always work out. There's been very few productions that have been very successful with doing that. And I think Loki just like nailed it out of the park. And as I said, it looked good. The casting was great. The story development for Loki as himself was top notch. I mean, I can't say anything more about it. But yeah, out of all of the MCU shows that I've seen, I'm not going to give you my entire rankings, but I still will go with Wanda number one, Loki number two. And that's all I'm going to give you.
Well, you know me, I love to rank stuff. So I put my rankings in the chat, but if you're listening,
Moon Knight's eight.
Oh yeah. He was not a fan.
I'm sorry, Amber. Hopefully this doesn't like end our friendship, but we can talk it out. But yeah. So let me go through real quick. So number one, I think the two seasons of Loki put it over the top for me, because I thought WandaVision for the first season was better than the first season of Loki. But the second season of Loki really kind of brought Loki to the top spot. My number two, WandaVision. Number three, She-Hulk. I enjoyed the humor of She-Hulk. Number four, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which probably should have been my number one because of all the Captain America stuff, but it just didn't pan out the way I think we all thought it would. My number five is Hawkeye, which plays a part in the Marvels. Not to spoiler alert everything, but that there's a Hawkeye nod in the Marvels. My number six is Miss Marvel. Of course, Miss Marvel is heavily featured in the Marvels and arguably the best character of all these characters. Maybe second to Loki, maybe of all the characters for these shows. My number seven is What If. What If was, I don't know. It was okay. It's an anthology series that really didn't mean a whole lot to the MCU, in my opinion. Number eight was Moon Knight. It's not that I didn't enjoy Moon Knight. I thought that Oscar Isaac was great, but it was just like, I don't know. I feel like that would have worked better as a movie. I think like a more,
okay.
Yeah, like a more contained story. Like also you had like movie stars in the show, which I mean, you have big time actors all over the MCU, but I think that would have worked better as a film. My number nine was Secret Invasion, because that was real bad. And, I think that's a consensus. I don't think anybody likes Secret Invasion. So anyway, oh, no, let us know.
There are those out there
that like Secret Invasion.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
Oh, I mean,
there's somebody for everything. I promise you.
Yeah, it's like what I told you. Somebody out there said the Marvels, the latest movie from the MCU, out outdoes Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And I'm like, Whoa, wrong.
I'm not here to yuck anyone's yum. That's all I'm going to say.
Amber is the fan favorite here. of all the hosts.
Jeez. Yeah.
So let us know your rankings, you know, in our chat or later on YouTube or on social media, because we're also in those places. Is there anything else that y'all want to talk about from Loki season 2 that we did not touch on?
So I just want to say really quickly in this final episode that I thought it was hilarious for Mobius to like go up to Loki when Loki clearly has been doing the repetitious of again and again and again, you know, to see about, can we get Victor Timely out faster and him not die, what have you. And then finally Loki goes, learns all the things, comes back. He's smarter than everyone in the room. And Mobius goes up to Loki, grabs him by the jacket and says, "What the shit are you doing?"
And I love that Loki's just like, "Trust me." And he's like, "No,
no,
no,
just, no." I just thought that was such a random sort of exclamation of or question rather. And it's just, but it sounds like something I myself would say, especially at work. I probably would grab Justin by his hoodie and be like, "What the shit are you doing?"
And I think like, because we do see him kind of in the background, how he just seems to, he's kind of like through the different repetitions, he's watching Loki. He's just like, something is different. Something is,
yeah.
Because he says like, "What's wrong? What's wrong with you? Like, what's happened?" Like he is very, like, because I don't ship Loki with anyone, but I can understand the people who ship Mobius and Loki, because I'm like, that guy was, he was so intrinsically in tune with Loki that he's just like, "Something's up with you. Tell me what is happening." And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. I want to imagine Mobius as he lingers on the timeline to let time pass. I imagine him finding a tree, setting up a little table and chair, and having key lime pie and setting a plate out for Loki.
Yep.
Okay, I'm gonna make myself cry.
And Loki seeing this, and why are you making me cry? Why are you doing this to me?
Because if I have to suffer, everyone does.
And after the first bite of key lime pie, what does he say?
Wow. He's like, "Key lime pie really isn't green, y'all." Anyway.
So, Amber, do you have any final thoughts on Loki season 2 that you'd like to share?
No, actually. I loved every second of it. Something that I kind of immediately just a second ago thought of, so I haven't developed this thought, but I thought Miss Minutes was going to be more of a big deal. And that's the only reason why I might anticipate her coming back and being a bigger problem later. Because it definitely seemed like she was ominous throughout the entire series. And it just didn't get that. Like her infatuation with He Who Remains was just kind of in that one episode, that one awkward scene with the mannequin, yeah. And just never touched on again, whatever. And it's just like, can we rewind to that a little bit? So like, that's my only like lingering thought. And I kind of just want to watch every Loki centric movie now and cry. I really, really liked it. I love the series. I hope that everyone else who has watched it enjoyed it as much as I did.
Yeah, if we are going to see Miss Minutes again in perhaps a different MCU installment, I hope that she does not retain any information whatsoever about He Who Remains and tries to like bring all the variants together and like wreak havoc and try to get every single one of them to be her boyfriend. because that'd just be weird. And yeah, it's a little curious about Miss Minutes in general. I was kind of anticipating a bigger part to play, especially when we talked about this in one of the other pods about the big secret that she knew about Renslayer, and it was going to make her really angry, and it didn't pay off. Like, so yeah. Some things in this season for sure didn't quite pay off, but overall this season, I think this season's a lot better than the first season. And that's very rare, in my opinion, of a sequel season to outdo the premiere. And somehow they were able to do it with the season. I don't know if perhaps because Tom Hiddleston was so heavily invested and wanting to make this like the best Loki season there was, whether he knows or doesn't know if Loki will continue, period. I think he recently said in an interview that it would be unwise to assume that Loki is not going to come back, or Tom not coming back to play Loki. And so my whole thing is, you know, this storyline about Loki is concluded, right? This is probably going to be the last season for Loki in general. But again, we might see him in other installments, be it Avengers movie or mid-credit, post-credit scene in something else. Who knows? I don't think Loki as a character is over. Just that particular storyline is over.
Yeah, no, I agree. Avengers Secret Wars is going to be, supposedly it's coming out in 2027. I think that may get pushed back. But that's probably the next time we see Tom Hiddleston play Loki. So we've got about a 4 or 5 year wait. So That's enough time for, you know, people are going to like miss the character and miss the portrayal. So
Amber's already here.
I'm waiting for other things. I can wait longer.
Oh Lord. It's going to be like BBC Sherlock all over again.
Hey, I was there. I was in the trenches.
Yes, I know you were.
Old magic to me. I was there. It was written.
I was there 5,000 years ago. It's been 84 years since.
No, hey, I mean, I have the effort for it. My like Good Omens, I waited 4 years for that season 2 to come out. And that's another show that season 2, I personally think season 2 is better than season 1. I waited, oh my goodness. I have so many, not just shows, but movies and things like that. Like
she has patience.
Oh yeah. I have, it's completely off topic, but I was really, really big fan of Avatar: The Last Airbender growing up. And when that series ended, they had teased that in the future, they were thinking of having a movie. And don't watch the movie. The movie's horrible. I actually cried in theaters because of how bad it was. But I had this very interesting conversation with my mother that I will never let her forget. When I was telling her about this, I'm like, oh, but that's like going to be 4 or 5 years from now, if it happens at all. And she's like, you are not going to give a shit about that show by the time that movie comes out. And I'm like, watch me. Bet. And it has been like 15 years, 18 years now, and I'm still in love with that show. I have patience.
She has patience.
I will wait for Loki.
Oh my.
Forever.
Oh my.
For all time.
Always. For all time and always.
I was trying not to say it.
Oh,
it's a perfect way to wrap this up. So yeah, it was great doing this season of Loki. Really enjoyed it. As we get out of here, Amber, why don't you plug your YouTube channel?
Oh, yes. If you guys want to hear me talk more about trees.
Things that are made from trees.
Yes. I have a YouTube channel called All of Amber's Wands. It's I talk about the wands, the wizarding world, and the wand lore. So I go into the cultural, historical, and symbolic meaning of the wood. And that's why I know so much about trees. And Yggdrasil is an ash tree. Just want to say that. And
I knew we were going to get that at some point.
I had to. I'm sorry, guys.
Yep.
Anyway, if you want to hear me talk about other trees in mythology and history and cultural symbolic meaning and the magical beasts that they come from, and we compare them to the actual character who owns that wand in the wizarding world, because wands have their own little personalities, and I think it's really cool to analyze that. And that's what my YouTube channel is about. And you can also go onto my Instagram and just talk to me, because I would talk about anything Loki, any other kind of media.
Season one and guys. Two, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a great big nerd. Just talk to me about things.
Yes. Sounds go good. Show Amber some love. Go follow her on YouTube and go follow her on Instagram.
Yeah. And it's been great having you on the show, Amber. Really, really enjoy the energy, the passion you bring to the show. So,
yes.
Very much. Hopefully we can.
Yeah. Hopefully we can talk about other stuff.
For all time and always. Yeah. Sorry.
Hey, oh, yeah. This is not the last podcast we're doing. We're doing plenty more with Amber, but I just.
Sure.
Just want to say we appreciate you. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I mean, hey, in 4 or 5 years, whenever Secret Wars comes out,
Jesus, yeah.
If my man Loki is there, I'm there.
We will talk about it. Yep, that's true. So now you know what we think about Loki season 2 and trees and all kinds of good stuff. We want to know what you think about it. So Brittany, how can people let us know what they think?
Well, just like our fellow friends in the chat here, McDorks, Yesenia, and Rahib, and also we had a newcomer today, and Vero Earth 2. We appreciate all y'all being here, taking part in our live chat as we discuss the season 2 finale of Loki. It really means a lot, and we actually love talking with our live audience, because we get to answer your questions as they're coming in, and a lot of y'all pose some really great questions. So that's always fun to do. We appreciate it. But if you haven't taken part in one of our live chats, we encourage you to do so. And the best way to do that, y'all, is to hit that subscribe button and hit that notification bell. That way, you know, the next time we will go live. And actually, Justin, you and I are going to go live tomorrow, Tuesday, November 14th at 6:30 PM Central Standard Time to discuss the Marvels. Oh, Lord, that's going to be tough. Good luck, she said. Yeah. So if you're a big fan of the MCU, I definitely want to hear your take on the Marvels. Did you like it? Did you not like it? Join us tomorrow for that live stream in the live chat. Also, don't forget to hit the like button on this video. Helps out our channel a whole lot. And if you're watching the replay, let us know your comments down below. And once again, follow us, including Amber, on her YouTube and her Instagram. But you can also follow the Watchers in the Basement on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Threads. That's right, y'all. We have lots of social media platforms, so be sure to follow us there. And you can use the hashtag WatchersBasement to help grow our audience. When you're tweeting at us, when you want us to check out articles, memes, that kind of thing, let us know what you'd like for us to check out next. We do have, I think, the rest of the calendar year pretty much sorted out, right, Justin, with pods. So
we've got some stuff planned. Yeah.
Yes. So
be sure to stick with us through the holiday season all the way to the new year.
Yes, very much so. Yeah. Very exciting stuff coming your way. And if video podcast is not your thing, we do have you covered with audio podcasts available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Be sure to follow us and give us a 5-star rating.
Thank you, Brittany. I appreciate it. So for Brittany and for Amber, I'm Justin saying thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Have a great rest of your day. Goodbye.
For all time and always.
Wow.